Well, good morning, everyone. We're going to get started here, and good to see all of you today. As we have been announcing for the last few weeks, we've got with us Kyle and Natalie Klein. They're missionary appointees to the Netherlands, and I'm not going to say much more other than to say we're glad that they're here and looking forward to hearing what their plans are for gospel work in that country. So, Kyle and Natalie, I'll turn the time over to you.
Well, we are very, very both excited and grateful to be here. Some of you we have met through the relationship of Chisago Lakes Baptist and Sunrise. So some of you are familiar to us. Many, though, we have not met. So as you have time today, please introduce yourself to us. It's actually a special treat because we're so close to home. And then we actually have a couple of our students from our youth group that are here this morning. So that's just an added blessing to us to have them here. One of the things that we always like to start off with our presentation is this phrase, God created the world, but the Dutch created the Netherlands. Now, this is actually a common phrase that you would hear at tourist attractions and things like that in the Netherlands, and it's been a saying that they've had for hundreds of years. And from this, we actually learn a couple things about the country of the Netherlands. Number one is that the Dutch people are masters of hydraulic engineering. When you think of the Netherlands, or when you think of the country of Holland, you probably think windmills, dikes, dams, and things like that. So we're going to refresh us all on high school geography. If you're unfamiliar, forget where the Netherlands is. Then you see that they're in, on the coast of Europe, on the North Sea. And so perhaps you're also wondering why I said Holland. It is the same country. Netherlands and Holland are the same country. Holland is just a nickname. So they're right there on the North Sea, and about 50% of the land of the Netherlands is actually what the Dutch say is reclaimed land from the sea. They have built an amazing waterworks system that pushes the ocean back, and then they build land on top of that. So 50% of the country's at or below sea level, and they're amazing masters of hydraulic engineering. But the second thing that we learn from this statement is what the Dutch think of God, what the Dutch think of religion. Perhaps if you've spent any time, if you've ever been over to Europe and you've been to Amsterdam, or perhaps you've heard of the reputation that Amsterdam has, you know that it is quite a godless city. And really that sets the tone for much of the country. The Dutch people have really moved past seeing their need for any type of formal religion or of God or of anything like that. And so, and I'll say more, share more about that later, but over 50% of the population of the Netherlands is actually atheism. And I'll share more about those specific statistics and what that means for us going there in ministry. But what we want to share with you this morning is a threefold burden that God has given us as he's been leading us to work with the Dutch people. Number one, that's seeing healthy churches in the Netherlands evangelizing and reaching the lost. Number two, then, is to see those churches training and discipling their own church members so that number three happens, that those churches then are planting and reproducing new healthy churches that then would repeat that process. And we want to see that happening underneath Dutch national leadership, not the American missionaries that are coming in. Our goal is to pass that off. And so in short, you could say that our goal is to see healthy churches established and reproduced in the Netherlands and then across Europe. And so we want to share with you, why does the Netherlands still need missionaries? Perhaps if you're thinking through world history, or you're thinking even through American history, and you know that religious people came from the Netherlands over to America at one point, perhaps you're thinking that at one point the Netherlands was a very God-honoring society that was the safe place for people of religion to come worship. So how do we go from a country that was a great place to go to for Christianity to now a place that needs missionaries? And we're going to explain that to you. As was mentioned earlier, though, we want to introduce ourselves. Many of you, like I said, are at least familiar with our church. We're sent from Chisago Lakes Baptist. I've been the associate pastor there just a little over the past 2 years. And we actually just transitioned to our full-time pre-field ministry, where we are now in churches on a full-time basis. But we are not far away. And we are missionary appointees with Baptist Mid-Missions to the Netherlands. I'm going to let Natalie introduce herself.
All right, so I get to share my testimony with you guys first. Sorry if this is a little wavy. I'm new with the handheld mic. But I was raised in a Christian home, and around the age of 5, my dad and I were setting up a nativity scene together. And any parents in the room, or if you've worked in children's ministry, you know kids have a lot of questions. And so I'm just peppering him with questions. Why is this baby laying in some hay? What's he doing here? What's going on? And my dad really took the time to slow down and share with me who that baby was and why that mattered to me personally. And so it was through that conversation that I began to understand that I was a sinner and that that sin separated me from a holy God. And so as I grew in my understanding, I trusted Christ as my personal Savior, and I was baptized by immersion several years later. The Lord really burdened my heart for missions and particularly evangelism. I was a really shy kid, and the Lord just gave me boldness to share the truth of the gospel with others. And so I continued in that direction in life, and I went to faith and got my missionary nursing degree, went on several short-term trips, and the Lord just kept burdening my heart for the lost and confirming that leading in my life. But I wasn't settled on a country just yet, and I'll let Kyle pick up there.
I was also saved at a young age. My dad, I grew up as a missionary kid in Canada, and then my dad is currently still in pastoral ministry. So I hear the gospel from a very, very young age, and I knew it very well. But it was one night when I was about 7 years old that my dad preached a gospel message in the evening service at our church. And that was the first time that the gospel really began to make sense to me. The Lord was working in my heart to really have some of those cogs begin fitting together, that my sin separated me from God. And no matter how much I was in church or piggybacking on the fact that dad's a pastor, mom and dad are in ministry and we go to church all the time, then I realized that my sin separated me from Christ and I was on my way to hell. And so after the service, when we went home, I ended up asking my mom more questions about what she had talked about that night, or what my dad had preached at church. I asked her follow-up questions. She did a really good job of putting the gospel in terms that a seven-year-old can understand. And if any of you have walked through the gospel with a young child, you know that that childlike simple faith is what clicks. And so my mom did a good job of explaining that. And that night I accepted Christ as my Savior. And about 5 or 6 months later, I was baptized by immersion as well. I grew up, then continued to grow up in a Christian home, went to a Christian college and got a degree in journalism, had no desire or intent to go into any type of ministry. And the Lord put me through really a year, my first year out of college, put me through a lot of testing, and I did a lot of questioning, started questioning my faith, questioning if the Bible could be trusted, if God was real, if God was good, and really was in a kind of a downward spiral when I ended up through various circumstances, ended up moving. I was in Canada at the time, moving from Canada down to Iowa, and ended up at Faith Baptist Bible College, where my pastor in Canada then became the president. And so I'm in Iowa at a Bible college, not entirely even sure what I think of the Bible. And the Lord really used that first year in Iowa to allow me to wrestle with him. The pastors of my church there really helped disciple me and walk me through that. And basically I come out on the other end of that, and the Lord had really changed my heart and led me to a place of feeling he was calling me into vocational ministry. And I talked to my pastors, and I think I'm crazy. I think I'm off my rocker here. And they're like, no, I think we can see this. So they did a lot of discipling to lead me in that way, and I continued there at Faith. I was working full-time doing seminary. And in my seminary education, I was part of the choir at the college. And every 3 years, the choir goes to Europe. So that was my first introduction to the Netherlands. I went with very low expectations for that trip, on what the Lord might do. I was really excited for France and for Germany. The Netherlands, I didn't really have much of an expectation for. But the Lord really used that time to pique my interest and to show me the work that was happening in the Netherlands. And I didn't walk away from that trip convinced that I would end up back there, but I was at least interested enough in what God was doing that I wanted to come back and see it. So we got married in 2020, and then we went back together in the winter of last year, in February, March of 2022, spent 2 weeks there with our coworkers. And it's there that the Lord really used people's testimonies and stories and how they have come to Christ and to see the ministry happening there and really to see how God is building his church in the Netherlands. The Lord really used all of those pieces to knit our hearts with the ministry there and feel like the Lord was leading us to join the work happening there in the Netherlands.
So this is our burden that we want to share with you guys today, that God would use us to help establish healthy churches in the Netherlands for the glory of God across Europe. So we want to share with you why there's four reasons why there is still a great need in the Netherlands. The first one is that God calls us to declare his glory among the nations.
When you read through Scripture, you see a lot of aspects of God's plan and God's heart for the nations. For example, in Psalm 96, verse 3, says, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. And so in short, we desire to see the Dutch people declaring God's glory. Secondly, the majority of Dutch people are non-religious. I alluded to this before. I said over 50% are non-religious. 55% of the population of the Netherlands claim atheism, no religion, no religious affiliation as their dominant religion. And so, to put that kind of into an American perspective, if you take the combined population of Wyoming, North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Idaho, Nebraska, and New Mexico, those seven states, if you take the combined population, that is only 55% of the country of the Netherlands, which is about the size of Vermont and New Hampshire. So you've got all those people in a very small country, 55% of them, no religious affiliation. Of the remaining population, you have about 20% that would hold to Roman Catholicism. You have 15% that would hold to Protestantism. Now, Protestantism in the Netherlands is a little bit different than what we think of Protestantism here. In the Netherlands, they have the Protestant Church. The Protestant Church is a conglomeration of the Lutheran Church, the Dutch Reformed Church, and the Reformed Church of the Kingdom of the Netherlands. So you have three different types of congregations underneath the Protestant Church. The Protestant Church, for example, is going to be what the royal family is a part of. The Protestant Church is what is in the same square in downtown Amsterdam as the royal palace. So although it's only 15% of the population, it is what people would consider almost like the state church. And so in the Protestant Church, you have really two strings of theology. You have a liberal theology that allows for an atheist woman lesbian to pastor churches, and that does happen. On the flip side of things, on the more conservative side of things, you have churches that teach the realities of hell, that teach that sinners go to hell, but there's no invitation or call to acceptance of the gospel. And so you have people in these churches that understand they are on their way to hell with no security, no hope of going there. They spend their life praying and hoping, God, would you let me have repentance so that I can go to heaven? But they're actually never sure. People who are getting saved out of this church, out of the Protestant church, come into the church that are co-worker pastors and says, religion has been heavy. It has been depressing because I have absolutely no hope in what's going to happen after I die. That's what these churches are teaching. Of the remaining population, then there's a 5% Muslim population. There's a 4% evangelical presence. Statistically, 4% evangelical is going to have the gospel, a clear gospel, but we actually speculate that number is a little bit lower because charismatic and Pentecostal churches also lump into that category where the gospel is much more feelings-based and experiential-based rather than what is truly in Scripture. So our coworkers estimate that that number is around 2 to 3% of the country would be evangelical, or that would hold to evangelical Christianity. Number three, as I mentioned before, that the Netherlands embraces godlessness. When you think of cities like Amsterdam, when you think of the hot topics of our day, things like drug use, legalized prostitution, the LGBTQ movement, things that here are the hot topics still being fought, are completely cultural normative there. All of those things I just mentioned are normal, accepted practices of Dutch culture, and they're very proud of it. They were the very first country in the world to legalize same-sex marriage, if that gives you any indication for where the country has been and where it is continuing to go. And then fourthly, the state of churches in the Netherlands is growing increasingly dark. I mentioned at one point the Netherlands was the country that was sending out missionaries. They were the country that people would flock to for religious freedom. And now, over the past several hundred years, that light of the gospel has gone out, where you see beautiful church buildings that are now dance studios, art studios. They're used for all sorts of things. And if the churches are still open, most of them are not preaching a clear gospel at all. And so we want to boil that down into one simple phrase that the Dutch people need Jesus.
All right, so we've thrown a lot of statistics at you, and maybe you're like me, where we take in so many facts every day that it can become really easy to be numb to them. What we don't want you to miss is our heart for the Dutch people themselves. There's currently about 17 million people in this country that don't have the hope of an eternity with Christ. That's a big deal. And so the fact of the matter is that the Netherlands is still in need of gospel workers to help establish healthy, reproducing churches that will create a ripple effect across Europe. So we're going to share with you several ways that we're planning to do this when we get there. The first way is evangelism. There are many people who don't have the hope of the gospel. Just take a second to imagine never hearing the truth about your eternal destiny, never having the hope and comfort of a God who loves you or the guidance of the Holy Spirit in your life. So we're going to share the good news of Christ with the Dutch people through building relationships, through hospitality, through outreach. And then the second way is through discipleship. We plan to do this through one-on-one meetings and hospitality as well. My own life has been very impacted by women who took the time to listen to me, they took the time to pray for me, and they took the time to call me out on sin when I needed it. And I have a heart for the Dutch people not only to know the joy of that type of relationship, but also to be able to reproduce it with others themselves.
And then the third way is through church planting. When we arrive in the Netherlands, Lord willing, we are going to be attending language school, formal language school, so that we can hopefully study and get proficient in the Dutch language. While in language school, we'll be joining the church Evangelische Baptist Gemeente. It's the Baptist church there in the city of Bergen op Zoom, where our co-workers are, and we'll be landing in that city as we do language school. We'll be serving in the church, helping the church while we learn language and culture, with the goal then of, with our co-workers, going out to plant another church out of that church. Once that church is under national Dutch leadership, once there's a Dutch pastor, once it's securely established and doing well, then our plan is to go out in a team missions aspect with our coworkers to go plant another church. And then, Lord willing, that goal is for that cycle to repeat itself through other churches. I mentioned our coworkers. I'm going to let Natalie introduce them to you.
All right, so on the top you'll see Daniel and Heather Boyd with their three boys. They've been serving in the Netherlands since 2011. And then on the bottom we have David and Chrissy Boyd, who have been in the Netherlands since 1983. And you'll probably notice that the last name is the same. That's because David and Chrissy are Daniel's parents. He is a third-generation missionary kid from the Netherlands.
We like to share from Scripture, why is it that we're going to the Netherlands? So what we have here is, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We really feel like this passage sums up well why we're going and what we plan to do when we're there. We're going to the Netherlands, Lord willing, to preach Jesus Christ to a country that at one point was very bright with gospel light, that has let that light diminish and diminish and go out, to people who see no need for any type of God or religion, and certainly not a gospel that would tell them how to live. And so as we are on this journey, fundraising, deputation, Lord willing, to get to the Netherlands, then what are ways that you can join our team for the Netherlands? Thank you so much for asking. Let me tell you, what are ways that you can join our team for the Netherlands? Number one is through subscribing. On our table in the foyer, we have either a QR code if you want to do it digitally on your phone, or if you want to sign up with a name and an email address. We send out newsletters two times a season, so two in the spring, two in the summer, two in the fall, and two in the winter. You receiving our newsletters means that there are people back home here in the States that are praying for us, people who know what is happening in our life, people who's keeping up with what is going on and what God is doing. And then also, Lord willing, once we get to the field, you will be the recipients of personal reports of what God is doing firsthand in our lives and in the lives of the Dutch people. That's a huge way to even encourage us, is knowing people are reading our updates. Number two is through financial giving. Most of the time, this is what we think of when we think of missionary support, so we like to give you three options. But financial giving, we cannot do what the Lord is calling and leading us to do without a team of financial partners supporting us on a monthly basis. We're currently at 40% of our needed support. We cannot go to the field until we are at 100%. But the Lord brought us to 40% last month, and that was our big mile marker for us, because at 40% meant that I would transition off of staff at Chisago Lakes and we'd be considered full-time missionary appointees. And so we had been praying for 40% for a long time. It was actually really, really cool. Side note, not in my notes. Our goal was the end of June, sometime in June, that God would bring us to 40%. And overnight, we actually had one family commit to 6% of our support, and in one night went from 34 to 40% to come off staff about 6 to 7 weeks before our goal was. We sat at their table and almost cried a little bit, and then Natalie had to remind me that at this time would be appropriate to say thank you, because we were so in shock and couldn't, and I was like, wow. But those are little stories that when you hear other missionaries share, you're like, oh, that's really cool. But then it happens to you and you're like, oh, wow, this is how God works. We were so excited for that. We're still rejoicing over that. And then number three is through the ministry of prayer. This connects with number one very well, because as you see our newsletters and as you see what God is doing, in there we put ways to pray with us and ways to praise God with us. So would you consider committing to pray for us on a regular basis? What God is doing, what God will do, and pray that God would use us to help establish healthy and reproducing churches in the Netherlands for his glory. As you consider potentially how God may have you minister to us in one of these three ways by joining our team, we also like to ask people to consider how is it that God could use you on the mission field. One of the programs that we have in specifically in our Netherlands ministry with Baptist Mid Missions is what's called Go Dutch. That's really a 5 to 6 week internship program for college students, young adults, to come see what God is doing there, to minister alongside us for 5 to 6 weeks, and to see could God use you on the mission field, whether the Netherlands or somewhere else. So that's always something we like to get out there as well. We would really, really appreciate an opportunity to get to know you today. I'll be preaching in the morning service. We have our display table with information. Feel free to stop by, come talk to us. We love getting to know people and hanging around.
All right, so you've heard a lot about the Netherlands from us, but there's nothing quite like a firsthand testimony. So we're going to show a video here in a second that shows some Dutch people themselves as well as our future coworkers.
And then after the video, I would like to share a story about one of the ladies in the video. I'm going to share her testimony, and then I will open it up for some Q&A. So if you guys have any questions of things we haven't answered or something we can better clarify, feel free to ask some questions at the end. The city that you will see in this video is Bergen-op-Zoom, the city that we'll be moving to.
So 55% of the country just claims to be nothing in the area of religion. For many of them, they really don't know why they're atheists. It's their basically default setting. As you get into conversations with them, it's an open opportunity to introduce them to what the Bible says, who God is, and what the gospel is.
Because in Holland there are Christians, but really in the south there are almost non-Christians. The most teenagers at this camp are alone Christian, and they are so in need to hear the gospel and to be strengthened and to go into the next year where they can be at their school where no one is Christian.
What we need in Holland, and especially in the south of Holland, is a pastor or pastors who explain the gospel simply as it is and tell what God wants of us and helps us to live by the Bible, live by obedience.
The spiritual climate in the Netherlands, a lot of times when you're talking to someone who really does know things that are in the Bible, they knew a lot of things about the Bible, but it never really reached their heart. And so, essentially, you would say that they had a dead faith.
And I also think in the rest of Holland, it's like our faith is our biblical faith, and our biblical churches are losing their strength. It's very much about how you feel, and if you feel feeling God, and you can just live your life.
the thing that continually amazes me is that so many people who have been saved for quite a while and been involved in church for quite a while still do not grasp the simple principles of biblical interpretation, just reading the Word of God and understanding what it says. These are tremendous needs that we have in our churches.
I think it's very necessary for Holland that there are good biblical teachers and missionaries that bring the gospel as God has meant it in His Word.
This is why we need Kyle and Natalie to come to the Netherlands to join our team, so that they too can be involved in equipping the saints that God entrusts to them for the work of the ministry.
What Kyle and Natalie would be doing is they would fit into our team as church planters, and that really would be the focus of what we're doing.
And continuing discipleship and training.
Exactly.
So that the Dutch people can take over the ministries for themselves.
We need good preachers with biblical truth.
We need people who just come over and explain that to the Dutch people.
I mentioned I wanted to draw your attention to one of the ladies in that video. If you remember, it was the couple, Sicko and Yet, and perhaps you were looking there and you saw the beautiful mountains that were behind them and you're thinking to yourself, wow, the Netherlands is a beautiful country. They were actually on vacation in Germany that week when they recorded that. So those were the beautiful German mountains. But Holland is a very, very beautiful country as well. So I want to share with you Yet's testimony. Yet has a very special testimony. I was able to meet her the first time that I went to the Netherlands in 2019. And so Yet was an elementary school teacher. She was a very open lesbian and involved in a homosexual relationship for many, many years. Yet has a brother who is a pastor in Canada. And so she goes on vacation to go visit her brother in Canada. And while in Canada, her brother essentially really hits her hard with the gospel. And before she leaves to go back to the Netherlands, then Yet's brother confronts her again and says, you need to get answers to these questions. And you need to find somebody there in the Netherlands that you can ask who will be there. And so she goes home to the Netherlands and she does a Google search. And she finds the church there in Bergen op Zoom that Daniel Boyd pastors. So she walks in on a Sunday and she's introduced to Daniel and Heather Boyd. And right out of the gate, opens up about her lifestyle and everything that she stands for. And while she is there, then she builds a really fast friendship with Daniel and Heather. Daniel and Heather then are inviting Yet over into their home on a weekly basis. Wednesday nights after their church's Bible study, Yet would come over on Wednesday night and have more Bible study. Most of the time would spend the night on Wednesday nights before going to work the next day. So Yet is being inundated with the gospel and with scripture on a regular basis. She's doing this for months and months and months. She's seeing how Daniel and Heather parent their children with the gospel. She's seeing what it looks like for a mom and dad to have to apologize when they make mistakes. She's seeing all of these things backing up everything from scripture that she's being taught. And eventually, Yet sees her sin, and she comes to Christ. And she goes through a very long and difficult process of removing herself from the lifestyle that she had been living in for so long. But she found a new community and a new family there at the church in Bergen op Zoom, where she was discipled, she grew, she served, an amazing part of the church. And when I met her in 2019, she was one of those people, and I know you all know people like this, one of those people that just have the contagious joy because you can tell that their life had been changed. And that was before I ever even knew her story. Good news, although unfortunately for Daniel and Heather in the church in Bergen op Zoom, Yet ended up meeting Sicko, a very godly man from up far north in the country. And they were married, which is a great thing. Unfortunately, yet moved to the north of the country. So she's no longer there in Bergen-op Zoom. So Natalie has yet to meet her. But she does come down quite frequently to spend time with the Boyds. They've really adopted her to make her part of the family. That's just one of multiple stories that we enjoy telling as we travel to churches of people whose lives have been changed by the gospel as a result of what God is doing in the Netherlands. I want to take, we've got about 10 minutes left, so I want to open it up for some questions. If there's anything that we could maybe better help explain for either of us, you can direct your question to Natalie if you want. But what questions do you have? Yeah.
Now the Boyds, how long have they been there?
So David and Chrissy Boyd went there. Well, David grew up there as a missionary kid, and so they went back together in 87, I believe it was. It was like mid to late 80s. And then Daniel and Heather Boyd have, he also grew up there. They went back as a missionary couple in 2011.
All right. Now you said one of them is the pastor?
Yes. The younger one, Daniel.
The younger one, Daniel. How long has he pastored that church?
He's been the pastor of that church for 7 or 8 years. When he landed in the Netherlands, he was actually helping his parents' church plant, and the missionary who had planted the church in Bergen-op Zoom that we'll be going to, he was retiring off the field. And so Daniel went to take over the pastorate because that church was not ready yet to graduate. And now that church is actually very close to graduating, which is exciting. They are financially stable. They have deacons in place. They have a steady income, steady, healthy church group. It's about 80 to 100 people, which for Western Europe is incredible. And so everything is in place except for who is the Dutch pastor going to be. They currently don't have anybody that feels like God is leading them into ministry. So they are working right now through, there's a couple guys that are kind of on the fence of maybe I could see that or not. So those are some men right now that Daniel is heavily discipling in hopes that one of them would be the first Dutch pastor.
So you would be a member of that church?
We would be members of that church.
That church?
Correct. So our plan, because we never want to come in, my goal in that church is not to be a pastor. Because as soon as I'm a pastor, we're now passing off responsibilities that Dutch people should be doing to another missionary. So we will just be church members serving, and we'll be in language school full-time. But the plan is from that church, once it's established under a Dutch pastor, then we would go, the four of us, Natalie, myself, Daniel, and Heather, would go plant another church where Daniel and I essentially would be the pastors and start the process over again. There were five other churches planted by Baptism and Missions within about an hour and a half radius. In the Netherlands, really any driving outside of 25 minutes is pretty long for them. One of those churches that was established back in like the 70s has shut down. Another church that was established in the 60s has adopted very liberal theology, but the other churches are still very healthy and strong, and so there's a good network there. There's a Southern Baptist church about an hour away, but there in that city, there's not a clear gospel presence outside of that church. Yeah.
How big is the city?
The city's about 65,000 people. So.
What would that compare to 65,000?
My Minnesota geography is really bad.
St. Cloud.
How about St. Cloud?
St. Cloud?
Yeah. Okay.
It just feels different because it's so compact.
Yeah, right.
Like
yeah.
Everything's squished together.
Right.
Natalie mentioned for maybe if you didn't get a chance to hear, she said it feels different because everything is so compact. The Netherlands is one of the most highly densely populated countries in the world because it is, if you take New Hampshire and Vermont and put them together, it's only about that size, but it has 17.6 million people in a size about New Hampshire, Vermont. Yes?
Where does the Dutch ministers going to come from?
For the national pastors of these churches? That's a really good question. Those are conversations that are being actually had right now that we are actually being brought in on what that will look like as well. So some of the options they've worked through is there's a seminary in Amsterdam that is incredibly Dutch Reformed. And so one option was to send them there so they could study in Dutch, but then have to basically correct a lot of the theology that they're being taught. So they don't really like that option. There's a Bible college in Ireland, so they don't have to leave Europe, but they would still have to study in English. And that has been an option. But most recently, then, there have actually been people in the church who have been asking Daniel, can we have theological education classes here at the church? And there seems to be a growing interest of the church people to have some type of classes set up there. And so we were just actually informed a couple weeks ago that one of the people in the church who has very, very good English has asked, well, can't Kyle teach some classes and can't Natalie teach like some women's classes in English when we first get there as we're learning Dutch, and those in the church who know English well enough could take classes from us. So we don't know what that looks like right now, but it does look like there's enough gaining interest that we, in essence, will be able to home grow our pastors within the church. That would be ideal if the resources are there and we can make that happen. And that's still very much in that talking phase of what that will look like. Yeah.
Did you ever get to meet Brother Andrew or know of him?
I don't know the name. I don't recognize the name.
God's Smuggler.
You told me about this, correct? She read the book. Was it a book? Yeah. Natalie's read the book. I'm not actually familiar with it until within the past year or so when she told me this story. So I haven't read it yet, but it sounds very, very intriguing. You get two thumbs up review. Did I see another hand? Yes, David.
Is there a Bible, like a little seminary also near where Mark Boyd is down in Germany?
Yes, in southern Germany. So Mark Boyd, that David is referencing is Daniel Boyd's brother, who's a missionary in Germany. And there is a seminary there in German. So again, you run into a language thing. Basically, they sound very similar. Dutch and German sound similar. A German person would say that I can understand Dutch enough. A Dutch person would say I can't understand German. There's enough differences that they'd have to learn the language. So you run into a language problem again. But there is, and I believe it's run by Baptist Mid-Missions pastor churches there. So I'm just not sure if that's an option long-term kind of thing. Who is it? Any other questions?
Do most people in Holland speak or Netherlands speak English? Is that like the trade language? Or?
Short answer is yes, especially people age 40 and below. Older generation learns some. Younger generation heavily learns it. It's very much normal practice to teach it through schools, universities, because it is, as you said, the trade language. Really, other than the Dutch islands in the Caribbean, nobody else in the world speaks Dutch as a national language. So they basically thrive on knowing English. So on the one hand, this will work in our favor because when we get there, we can talk to government offices and just say, I speak English, and they can switch to English for us. So that will help us short term. Long term, though, that could actually make it harder for us to learn Dutch, because very, very frequently when a Dutch person hears your English accent, then they instantly say, oh, you're English, and then they just go right to English for you. And that doesn't actually help us learn Dutch, because what we experienced when we were there is having some pretty good conversation with people in the church about what they do, about their families, hobbies, things like that. And then they would ask us our salvation testimony, and we would explain it. And then we would ask theirs, and that's where their language started to break down, because they're not taught the Bible in English in schools and universities. So to really drive home the message of the gospel and the word of God, we want to be able to communicate that in their heart language in a way that they're going to understand, which is why we're still going to be doing Dutch school while we're there. And it's definitely predominantly the language of the people. Did I see another hand somewhere back there? Yes.
So how long is language school expected to take?
Depends on how good we are. We have to be, if you're familiar with like different competency levels, we have to be at a B2 competency level of Dutch. I don't know quite to what proficiency that is, but I'm assuming it's enough that I can get up and preach a sermon in Dutch. So we have to be at B2 competency for when we can stop doing language school. We would love to see that be a year to a year and a half, but I guess it depends on how much we can pick up. We have already started working on the language as best as we can from here in the States. One of the ways actually that you guys can be praying for us, there's a language school there in the city of Bergen-op-Zoom, but you have to already have somewhat of a Dutch background to get in. So we would love to be able to get into the school because that school is in our city, will be with the people that we're living in the same town with. And so both gospel opportunities and just convenience would be really nice. If we don't know enough Dutch to get into the school, then we will most likely have to go down to Antwerp, Belgium, which would be, at first it'll be a train ride, and then it's about a 45-minute commute by car once we have a car, and we'll be taking classes at the university there. So we're really, really praying that we can learn enough to get into the one that's in our city.
So I take it Pastor Boyd preaches in Dutch?
He does, yes. He is for being an American, he's as native Dutch speaker as you can get because he was born there and grew up there. His wife said that actually made her learning Dutch very difficult because he would ask, or she would ask, why do the Dutch say things and like this? And he's like, I don't know, we just do. And she said long-term is actually really unhelpful. So at this time, if there's no other questions, then I believe we're at time and pass it back. Or do you want me to close in prayer? Sure. Sounds great. God, thank you so much for your word that transcends culture. Lord, that transcends language. We're thankful for the work that you're doing around the world, here in Minnesota, in the Netherlands. Lord, we're grateful for those that you are calling to salvation. I ask that you would, your hand of blessing would be on the time of fellowship now. Lord, the time that we will be in the worship service. Would you remove distractions? Would our hearts be ready to praise and to worship? Lord, would you bless the reading and the opening of your word? And we're grateful that you are a God that is saving people. We're thankful for the blood of Christ that makes that possible. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.